Spirit Blade Underground, September 2nd, 2011.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, September 2nd, 2011.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right, let's get into updates.
File access. Updates.
I'm amazed at how fast I've been writing the first draft for Spirit Blade 3. Yesterday and today, I've wrapped up three plot threads, and I'm currently writing the climax of the whole thing. I plan to go back through the script to ensure that there is a good amount of action throughout, and, you know, check on pacing and stuff. But at this point, I think I can safely say that it ramps up enough at the end with enough kind of epic scale to, I think, be worthy of the end of a trilogy. So I'm excited for how this is going to play out, the kinds of action and the stakes of and how high they are. It's pretty big. Things get pretty big at the end. So I'm hoping it'll be a fitting climax, not just to this story, but to the trilogy as a whole. But while writing the big fun action at the end of the script, I'm also writing the final scenes I'll probably ever write for at least some of these characters, maybe all of them. There are elements of both triumph and tragedy as this story comes to a close, and it's fittingly sad that I think that I prepare to say goodbye to these characters and their stories, and I say fittingly because, you know, it's a good thing that it's sad. If I wasn't sad, then it means they wouldn't be worth attaching myself to or emotionally investing in, you know. So for anybody else, you know, that's like somebody on the forums about a week or so ago said, no, you can't, you know, don't end this, you know, with just the trilogy. You got to keep things going, you know. I felt their pain. Right. I mean, I feel it first. I feel it before you guys do, you know. So anyway, I think that's a good sign for me, at least for my enjoyment of this process, that it's hard to say goodbye to these characters. But I still wonder if this will really be the last we'll see of Merrick and his allies, or his enemies, for that matter. Now, I want to be really clear, it's way too soon to make any announcements. I wasn't even going to say anything about this at all, or even hint at anything. In fact, it may fizzle and no announcement will ever come, but I can at least say that I've been toying with an idea that will in some way continue the world of Spirit Blade. And in fact, it's really gone beyond toying at this point. I've spent extra hours every night this week, so it's not taking time away from the development of Spirit Blade 3. I've been just putting in extra hours on this idea because it's just fun for me and exciting to explore it. So I've spent extra hours every night this week intensely exploring a possibility that, if it works as I hope, will mean a new Spirit Blade experience for you guys all to enjoy. And for those who've been reading the forums, no, I am not referring to the potential iPhone game, which I'm also excited about, but that's a totally different thing. There's still plenty of conceptual work to be done on this idea I'm working on. But I'll say I'm very excited about this idea, and I hope it will be something I can launch at the same time that Spirit Blade 3 is released. That's all I can say for now, though. I'll give you more details as I'm more confident that things are moving forward. So for now, just let the speculation commence. And then also, mark your calendar for Saturday, September 10th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We're going to be hosting a live chat for the Spirit Blade community on our forums at spiritblade.net/forums. Basically, what you do, you just head on over to the spiritblade.net/forums on the 10th for the chat. You sign in or create a free account if you haven't yet, and then just scroll down and join the chat box at the bottom of the main page. It couldn't be any easier. Chat's going to go for about an hour, 6 to 7 Mountain Standard Time. There's no specific topic or agenda for the chat. We've done two so far that both were, we were listening to an audio drama at the same time. And this is going to be different. I do plan to do more of those in the future, but this one is just a general chat. So there's no specific topic or agenda for the chat. You just come hang out and we'll just see what people feel like talking about. So I just kind of figured that we were overdue for some hanging out. Somebody wanted to test out the chat box with me last week, and it just made me think, you know, we haven't done anything on here in a while. We should do something. So we're going to do it on September 10th, Saturday, September 10th, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time at spiritblade.net/forums. All right, on the show today, my thoughts on the end of DC's Flashpoint story event and Justice League number 1, which is the first book in the all-new DC Universe continuity. Plus, I talk tabletop fantasy gaming a little bit as I look forward to Descent, Journeys in the Dark, the second edition, and look back to Milton Bradley's Hero Quest. All right, let's get to it.
Comic review.
DC's new universe started with the end of the Flashpoint miniseries. It was, I believe, a 5-issue miniseries, and the last issue came out this week. So the new universe started with the last pages of the Flashpoint miniseries, but you don't need those to get on board with the new DCU. Really, just Justice League number 1 is really, I think, the best jumping on point for the new DCU. Both of those books came out this week. Now, although Flashpoint was drawn and written fairly well, it was ultimately, for me, just another ho-hum alternate reality story, kind of like Elseworlds or, you know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Like, oh, the timeline's been changed and now everything's gone to crap and now we got to change it back. That premise has been used a million times. You know what you're in for, and especially in the world of comic books, you know that almost without exception, by the end of the story, everything's going to be back to normal, or at least whatever this changed continuity is, it's going to be gone. So, you know, we all knew that the Flashpoint continuity wouldn't be sticking around. It was surrounded by tie-ins, but it was predictably here and gone, giving me no reason, as I knew it wouldn't, to invest in the alternate versions of my favorite characters that were presented. Where it functions well, I think, is as a Flash story. If you like Flash, Flashpoint really is, a good Flash story that just, you might say, happens to feature a bunch of alternate versions of DC Universe characters. It deals with Barry Allen, the Flash, his greatest enemy, the Reverse Flash, lame name, but cool villain. And it brings the stakes close to home as the story hangs on the death of Barry's mother. The ending felt a little rushed, and I think it would have been stronger if it wasn't attached to the new 52 event, you know, change. But these are 5 issues that would stay in my collection, even apart from their soon-to-be historical significance and attachment to the relaunch of DC's continuity. Speaking of which, the real fun this week in comic books for me began as I opened the first page of Justice League number 1. The story takes place 5 years ago. There is no Justice League yet in this story, but it's featuring the characters that will be part of the Justice League, the big iconic characters of the DCU. And you can see them on the cover. It's Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, Flash, Batman, and oddly enough, Cyborg, which certainly is not anywhere near the, you know, caliber of icon status of the other characters. But anyway, the story takes place 5 years ago. Superheroes were first coming out of the woodwork. In fact, we get to see Batman and Green Lantern meet in these pages for the first time. The writing, I thought, was great. It's Geoff Johns, so no surprise there. And it showcases the core of who these characters are. And, you know, you may disagree with that if they're not representing who you knew these characters to be. But, you know, we can't really argue that they're showcasing the core of who these characters are now in the DC Universe. But they really seem to right away establish the personalities of these characters, especially Batman and Green Lantern, the way they played off of each other. Green Lantern comes on the scene. He's all glowing and bright and way overconfident and cocky. And Batman's like, turn the frickin' flashlight off. You're totally blowing my cover and all this kind of stuff. And it was much better. The dialogue was much better written than what I just said. But seeing them play off of each other was really great. If you love the way that Geoff Johns played the two off of each other in, say, Green Lantern Rebirth, where Batman's an agent of fear and Green Lantern's an agent of fearlessness, then I think you'll appreciate this. It's the same kind of dynamic going on here. It's a lot of fun. And it's a fresh backdrop of a kind of clean slate DC universe that I think the editorial staff is no doubt aiming for with their books, especially these first few months of the new continuity. It looks as though this entire opening story arc in the Justice League book is going to be about the team's origins. It does... You do get to see Superman. It's like a full page spread of a Superman on the, but it's like the last panel, so it's kind of a cliffhanger ending. But it's a great introduction, I think, to we get to kind of see Superman for the first time through the eyes of Batman and Green Lantern. So really cool, really cool. Not all DC books are using their first issues this year to tell origin stories, though I kind of wish that they would. In fact, part of me wishes that DC would have just gone all the way and done like a complete relaunch of the universe with no stories outside of character origins retained from the previous continuity. Now, that might seem strange coming from a guy who's been a hardcore DC fan for 15 years and who loves the rich history and continuity of the DC universe. But I, for one, would love to see, as long as they're doing a reboot, I would love to see DC's answer to Marvel's Ultimate Universe, where it's at least Marvel's Ultimate Universe started out with a slightly more grounded take in terms of character portrayals and realism and the costumes. They kind of took the philosophy of, let's design this visually so that it would work if you were making a movie of this. You know, there's just more seams in the costumes and stuff, and it's just a little bit more grounded in reality. And the new 52 isn't quite that. I think they got some of the costume, you know, things going on where they're adding more attention to detail and trying to be a little bit more grounded. But they haven't wiped away, as far as I know. Well, yeah, I know they haven't wiped away all of the previous continuity. You know, like as I said last week, Superman was at some point in the past still killed by Doomsday. Barbara Gordon, aka Batgirl, was in a wheelchair. So there's some, I guess, what they would call key events that are still part of the continuity. I would actually rather they just totally wiped it clean. And instead of telling flashback stories like this JLA story right now, it's all taking place 5 years ago. I would rather that they just start the whole universe over instead of, like, you know, using the first four issues of half of their books to tell 5 years ago stories. Just forget that. Let's just start 5 years ago and have the whole universe start from the very beginning and not deal with the whole flashback confusion and all that stuff. I'm sure there's huge disadvantages and cons to that approach as well. So if you got an opinion on that, I would love to hear it. And I'll remind you at the end how you can get in touch with me. Even so, I can already tell that this is the best jumping on point that new readers have ever been offered for the DC Universe. And the pages of Justice League, if issue number one is any indicator, will be a great place to get more big, iconic heroes for your buck. And maybe test the waters and see what heroes you might be interested in following in their own books. So if you only try one DC book, I think Justice League should be it, you know, at least until, you know, more DC books come out later this month. I mean, I have no kind of grounding to judge it on against all the others, but it would make sense to me just conceptually, because it's the big iconic DC characters, and we are getting to see kind of how they first interact with each other in this story arc. So you're getting kind of an overview, I think, is probably what's going to be happening here, of the DC universe in the Justice League book. So I think it's no wonder they started it as the first book of the new DCU to give people a taste of the universe as a whole. DC has already sold out on their first print run of Justice League number one, but the second print is already coming. The guy at the comic book shop I'm at this month said that they're already going to be coming to stores next week, so you're far from too late to grab this one. And you can always go digital. I didn't check before doing the podcast to see where you could get digital comics, but I'll bet if you go to dccomics.com, you can easily find where to get the digital version of Justice League for your mobile device. Boy, I've really been talking DC up quite a bit, doing their publicity work for them. I wonder when that check is going to come in the mail. All right, moving along, some tabletop gaming tidbits, especially if you're into like fantasy tabletop gaming. Not quite RPG stuff, but I mean like tabletop strategy adventure gaming in a fantasy setting. Over last weekend, I went to the Fantasy Flight Games website. They're a tabletop game producer. They produce RPGs as well. And I hadn't been there in a while, so I wanted to go and see what was up, if there's any new expansions or anything for my favorite tabletop game, which is currently Descent: Journeys in the Dark. which is kind of a dungeon delving. You know, you got one guy playing all the monsters, and you got up to four other players playing a team of heroes that are crawling through the dungeon and, you know, killing monsters and looting and treasure and getting more powerful, rinse and repeat, and save the universe or whatever. So anyway, I go to Fantasy Flight Games. What should I discover but the news that a second edition of my favorite board game is being released in early 2012? Now, at first, the news was frustrating. I've pumped, as I'm sure lots of you RPG gamers and tabletop gamers who've been through something like this before, you know, could attest to. You know, I've pumped so much money into this game over the years, and new additions like this often seem to be more about milking customers than making a significantly improved product. Which is why I wanted, you know, when I re-released Spiritblade, I wanted to do like a complete overhaul. So this was not just going to be like a nip and tuck. This was going to be like a totally different auditory experience, because I hate that. It's a pet peeve of mine, you know, when you just get like some little tweaks here and there, and they, you know, put the same brand new price tag on it. And anyway, but as I looked into the details some more, my hope began to be restored. The rules will reportedly be streamlined for faster play and less player downtime. And, you know, when I play this game with my buddy Mark, it's very common for, you know, the conversation to turn to, is it still your turn? Okay, I'm going to go get some more Pepsi, maybe put a pizza in the oven. It's also designed to have many more easy stopping and starting points, which is a problem for especially the original rules of Descent. So this is going to allow for shorter game sessions when time demands. And that is great, because right now the only person I play this game with is a buddy, and we have to devote entire weekends to it only like two times a year. Because he just can't sit down and play quick sessions of Descent. So if they could figure out a way to pull that off, that would be amazing. Now, I haven't done a comparison yet of what you get in the box compared to the first edition, but I know that the map tiles are double-sided and rules for campaign play are already included, which is very good news. Sounds like they're aiming to give us the most bang possible for our buck instead of kind of starting the whole process over again. The only news I'm not as excited about is the, quote, conversion kit to allow you to adapt all of your old Descent stuff to the new rules system. I like having that ability, but having to buy it separate for $25 is a little bit lame. That's going to bring the total cost of this upgrade to over $100. Yikes. Hopefully they will put the rule books online before the release, like they usually do in PDF form, so I can really see what I'm buying before I buy it. Getting more details is really going to make a big difference in convincing me to put down the money for this. If you've never played Milton Bradley's Hero Quest, which I'm moving on to now in this tabletop gaming conversation, you've totally missed out. Let me just tell you. This Hero Quest is freaking amazing. In junior high, my parents probably never imagined what kind of a treasure they gave me one Christmas. It wasn't on my wish list. I'd never even heard of it. I was in that limbo stage where action figures weren't doing it for me much anymore, but I hadn't discovered any new hobbies yet. HeroQuest is an out-of-print fantasy adventure board game, like an extremely light version of Dungeons & Dragons. There's no role-playing involved. It's just four heroes controlled by 1 to 4 players exploring dungeons, taking out monsters, and recovering forgotten treasures. The rules were much simpler than modern equivalents like Descent from Fantasy Flight Games, but all those newer games owe something to this gem, and it's still totally worth getting, in my opinion. You can get used copies of it online in various places for between $50 and $70, which I think my parents maybe got it for, gosh, in like the early 90s. I think it was maybe $20, $30, something like that. I mean, much cheaper than what you'd pay for the same type of game today, and it's less complex. But I mean, even today, $50 to $70 to get a used copy of this, I think is well worth it. I recently pulled my old game boxes out again, and rediscovered a lost world that I had adventured in for over a decade with my longtime gaming buddy Mark before we moved on to Descent, when Descent was released. We went far beyond in HeroQuest any published material. I began writing epic quests of my own. I think my experience with HeroQuest is similar to what other people experience with Dungeons & Dragons, where as game masters they would just spend hours and hours with graph paper and, you know, or a word processor. For you kiddies, that's a computer that doesn't do crap except for type words. To keep pace with his growing heroes, I created pages and pages of new monster stats, new artifacts to be found, new rules to keep things interesting. And little did I know I was one of many and was doing it with far less attention to detail. Now, if you've still got HeroQuest, you can find a number of awesome websites online dedicated to HeroQuest with carefully balanced new character classes and tons of new spells, artifacts, monsters, and of course, quests. My favorite, my reigning favorite, and I think the one-stop shop for all things HeroQuest is a website called Ye Olde In, and it's the old English spelling of old, O-L-D-E. I think if you just do a Google or Yahoo search on Ye Olde or Oldie In, you'll find it. And it resurrects a site I used to visit all the time and also adds more material to it. And it's all free. I mean, there are some stuff, things on there you can buy, but they're basically just like nicer bells and whistles versions of stuff that you can get on there for free. You can even find software that will run the game for you if you need a game master but don't have one. That's never as good as a flesh and blood person to play with, but those are hard to come by, and all this reminiscing might just make me desperate enough. All right, well, anyway, that's it for me on all that stuff. If you, like, have a favorite board game or some geeky thing that you want to talk about and want to share it on the show, I want to get it from you. If you want to join the Spirit Blade Underground by contributing a review or news or other geekiness, geek-centered topics or whatever of any kind, send a written email or a recorded audio file to Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net. To get it on this podcast. You can also record your content for me to play on the show by calling 206-350-1226. You can also use either of those methods to get in touch with me with your thoughts for me to share on the show about the DC comic book changes going on, and if you have an opinion on whether or not a complete reboot would be better or not than what they're doing. The future. A world with a quest for truth is a thing of the past.
Look, your truth just isn't true for me, okay?
The truth does not require your belief. It simply is, regardless of your personal convictions.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
An alien race has blessed us with amazing technology.
Merrick, the world we live in is incredible.
While a race of demons destroys who we are.
Do you believe in the supernatural, Mr. Vandarius?
He shall bathe in your blood, human.
Brothers, tonight marks the end of our subjection to the only. Humanity will be wiped from the map of history.
We've traveled across our world and even into another.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
What the frick just happened? Was that
the other world?
We've been hunted by humans, aliens, and things I don't have a name for.
I'm the future, Vincent. The ultimate life form.
There's too many of them! One goes down and three more take its place!
All because we're looking for the one weapon that can bring an end to this conflict forever.
Give me the sword!
A weapon known only as the Spirit Blade.
Oh, I can feel its power from here!
Oh yeah? Well, tell me what this feels like.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans, chapter 14, looking at verses 7 through 12. And I'll go ahead and read it from the NASB version of the Bible, which reads, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. In previous verses, Paul described how Jews and Gentiles, that's non-Jews, in his day, chose to observe or not observe special days or dietary customs. He made the point that whatever each believer chooses in these matters, they are motivated by a desire to serve God. He continues in verse 7 by pointing out that no believer lives or dies for themselves. Our entire purpose in life and our purpose in death revolves around God. We are his possessions to be used for his purposes. Look at verses 7 and 8 for where I got that. In some way hinted at, but not described in verse 9, Christ's death and resurrection were the key elements in making him, quote, Lord over all of humanity, both those still living and those who have already died. Look at verse 9. This position of lordship, we might say, means that it is specifically Christ who will evaluate what we have done in our lives and with our lives. Because of this, we shouldn't judge or think negatively of each other. Whatever ability we might think we have to evaluate the performance of another, Christ's ability is infinitely greater. And he's going to be focusing that ability on us someday as well. Look at verse 10. Paul emphasizes this truth by quoting from Isaiah 45:23 in verse 11. One day, when this life is over, we will each be responsible to, in some sense, stand before the, quote, judgment seat of Christ, which is probably a metaphor based on the common judgment seats of the ancient Greco-Roman world. But we're going to stand before this kind of judgment seat of some kind and give an account of ourselves to God. Now, we might stop here and say, well, wait a minute, what about Romans 8:1? Romans 8:1 says in the NASB, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what's this idea of being judged by Christ? If there is no chance of being condemned, why would standing before the judgment of Christ be anything to take into consideration now as we decide how to live our lives? The answer is because of the rewards we will receive for obeying God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 in the NASB reads, For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 in the NASB says, Therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's going to be compensation not just when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, not just for the bad that all humanity has done, but for the good as well. As believers, we have no reason to fear condemnation of any degree. So we don't got to worry about being compensated for what we have done wrong. But there is a vast supply of rewards that Christ will portion out, and the way we live our lives now will result in either gaining or missing out on a certain amount of those rewards. So the next time we find ourselves thinking negatively about someone else, we should remember that Christ is a far better judge of character than we are, and that there will be even more in store for us in his eternal kingdom if we keep a humble focus on him right now instead. Next, we'll take a look at keeping each other from, quote, stumbling. We'll look at that more next time. In the Coffeehouse question this week, many churches rarely or never teach on the subject of rewards. Why do you think that might be the case? Again, you can email me at paetter@spiritblade.net, and I'll read your thoughts on the show, unless you tell me that you just want the conversation to be between us. What's the other thing? Oh, yeah, 206-350-1226. give me a call there and leave a message that I can play on the show. Well, this week, I just want to highlight at spiritblade.net/forums the prayer request forum that you can find there. It's just been put to good use lately by a couple of people, myself being one of them. And, you know, I went there and, let's see, what did I just basically asked for prayer because my faith in the last couple of weeks has just kind of needed to be strengthened. I don't have a good mind for trivia or like a great memory, just in general. And that means that now and then, if I don't go back and reestablish in my mind the evidence for the truth of Scripture, I experience these kind of random moments of, what if it's all just in my head, you know? And so apologetic study isn't the only cure for this part of my weakness, but it does play a significant part for me. And so I just asked prayer recently when I was kind of in a faith funk, that would just be an effective time of studying, or that God would just help me work through that in a way that's just, you know, not plugging my ears, going, na na la 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 la, I don't hear these thoughts of doubt and all that kind of stuff, but that I would work through them logically, and that the truth would really become clear, the logical, reasonable basis for my faith would become clear. And God's been blessing the people that the prayers of those that got online and prayed for me. So I want to thank you guys for praying for me on there. And I want to encourage all the rest of you guys, if you ever want just some prayer support for whatever's going on in your life, you don't got to give the details or anything like that. God knows the details, and we as a community are just ready and willing to pray for you. So you can go over to spiritblade.net/forums and get some prayer support from this community. This is a really cool community. I'm loving it so much. I'm so glad that it was Hack Modford on the forums beat me over the head for a while to, like, you gotta get forums, you gotta make forums happen, and then he really spearheaded the whole thing, and I'm just really grateful for the community that we've got there and that's growing all the time. Very exciting stuff. So I hope you guys will come by and be a part of that. And also, I want to remind you again about the chat. Speaking of community, spiritblade.net/forums on September 10th, 6 to 7 p.m. You just log in, scroll down, and enter the chat box, and I'll be there and whoever else to hang out. Also, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. It's your monthly dose of the biggest news, discounts, and free content from Spirit Blade Productions, including some huge discount opportunities and giveaways not advertised anywhere else. You can sign up today at spiritblade.net/newsletter. And lastly, if you haven't yet, consider, if you would, telling somebody about the free audiobook version of Spirit Blade, which you can download or listen to at spiritblade.net/audiobook. I think it's kind of a cool free way to get people engaged with the fiction and stuff that we're producing, and just give you guys some common ground if you're looking for, you know, some sci-fi stuff to talk about that has some substance and meaning to it that's relevant to, you know, the big questions in life. This is a great introduction to the world of Spirit Blade. Anyway, that's it this week, guys. I'll be covering, I think, I'll definitely be covering, like, DC Comics stuff this month. I didn't watch Apollo 18. It looks like a cool movie. If somebody wants to review that, I would love to get that review. If you see any other movies coming out this week, there's a slightly, because of the big events going on in DC that I'm going to be kind of covering a little bit of every week, there's a slightly reduced chance that I will be reviewing a given movie this month that you might be interested in getting a review from me on. So if you're really interested in me reviewing a movie that's coming up this month, let me know, and I'll try to get out to it. Or you can just say, hey, I'd love to review this one, and I could really use the reviews this month since I'm covering a lot of the DC stuff. So anyway, other than that, guys, I hope you guys have a great week. Let's you and I do what we can in every instant of our lives, all those kind of mundane moments we take for granted that we just kind of tend to, I know I do, just tend to check out and just coast along. Let's not do that. Let's do everything we can to remain alert and discerning and seeking the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.